Thanks for tuning in to Jet Nation. You are listening to Joe Vinny and the Jets. Be sure to follow us at Jet Nation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And check out our forums. Jet Nation is your home for uncensored Jets talk. Now, here's your hosts, Joe Blewett and Vinny Vladaraka.
And you are listening to the second ever edition of Joe, Vinny, and the Jets. Tonight, we're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about some weaknesses on the Jets team. We're going to talk about Geno and his leash and what his stats have to look like during the season for him to remain the starter and possibly even the starter after this year. Do we have to draft a quarterback? Do we have to stick with Geno? What is the quarterback situation? We're going to talk about most valued player on each side of the ball. We're going to talk about just about everything this week. Obviously, it's a slow time right now. You know, it's, July 14th, so there's not a lot of things going on. Obviously, there's a period between minicamp and training camp, and we're in that period right now, so there's not a whole bunch to talk about, at least as that goes. But we're going to talk about – we're really going to try to break down this Jets team tonight, and hopefully we get some callers. But, Vinny, what's up? Are you ready for your second show? Vinny, can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now, Vinny. What's up, man? How you doing?
What's going on, bud? Doing good, man. You know, getting ready for training camp, 2 weeks away. You know, pretty excited for that. You know, a lot of stuff going on today. You know, I mean, obviously it's a slow time, but, you know, there's a few headlines today. I saw Snacks coming out saying he's the best nose tackle in the game. You know, a lot of things going on, you know, getting ready for all those roster battles in camp. You know, we had that supplemental draft going on. Jets did not make a pick. So, I mean, you know, a lot of stuff going on. Just get ready for camp, bud.
Well, you know, there's definitely a lot of things to talk about. At least this week, you know, there's a slow time, but we're diehard Jets fans. There's diehard Jets fans listening to us. There's definitely some things to talk about. But, you know, one thing that definitely interests me during this week is, you know, it's not too Jets related, but it just confuses me that, you know, I want to get your opinion on this real quick, that Tom Brady gets 4 games. And I obviously understand we hate the Patriots. Me and you hate the Patriots. We're probably actually going to end up driving up to New England this year, staying a weekend in Boston. We'll see how that ends up, you know, going to bars and things when we're in Jets jerseys. That would be definitely interesting. But, you know, he gets 4 games. There's no evidence against him necessarily that definitely proves that he did it. It's more of a probable cause kind of thing where you can see that he might have done it or things like that. You have Sheldon Richardson, who smoked weed, who obviously I understand, you know, people are, oh, well, weed is better than alcohol and he shouldn't be suspended for 4 games. And I understand that. And there's a guy like Greg Hardy who, you know, beats, supposedly, this is at least what I've heard. He beats a girl, he throws her onto a pile of automatic weapons that are loaded, he puts her into a tub of water, dunks her head under the water, and actually, you know, physically abuses her. So does it make sense to you that a guy who doesn't have any evidence against him in Tom Brady gets suspended for 4 games, a guy who smokes weed gets 4 games, and a guy like Greg Hardy, who has 10 games, and then a guy like Roger Goodell, only, you know, drops it down to four games after there's obvious evidence, and there's a whole bunch of evidence that actually supports that this guy actually beat his girlfriend and you know, threw onto a pile of automatic weapons. You know, do you think the NFL needs to change some things with their rulings and with their court? Because honestly, for these guys to all get the same suspension, I think it's a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's obviously some flaws in the system that the NFL Players Association has with the league. I mean, for a guy to, you know, he was one step away from being convicted away if his girlfriend at the time would have, you know, showed up in court. My guess is Greg Hardy paid her off. But, I mean, who knows what actually happened. I mean, yeah. If you're telling me that he's getting four games for throwing a female, you know, nonetheless, you know, shouldn't be doing it to anyone, but to a female onto a bed with excess of over 10 guns. A shotgun was in there, like a sold off barrel shotgun, like loaded weapons. And for him to get a suspension reduced from 10 to 4 is just, it really is mind boggling. I'm going to say it now. I mean, I'm calling now. Tom Brady is not going to get suspended at all.
No.
So that suspension, I think that suspension is, you know, going to get taken away completely. you know, the Patriots will lose maybe, you know, so I think they'll lose still a first and I believe it was a third round pick. I mean, but that really doesn't mean anything to the Patriots. I mean, these guys know how to draft. They've been doing it for, you know, for the last 15 years, you know, one of the best drafted teams. So, I mean, this is obviously a case where, I mean, in Sheldon Richardson's case, where he knew the rules, where he disobeyed the rules. And, you know, I don't feel bad for Sheldon Richardson at all because this is the guy who you know, already failed the drug test. I mean, it's no matter what else is happening, you know, around the league, it's up to him. So, I mean, I don't think Sheldon has any like argue room or any wiggle room in this scenario with the recent news with those suspensions. But Tom Brady, I mean, I would be shocked if he gets suspended a quarter because you know, Greg Hardy getting suspended four games is just a complete joke.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you know, obviously, it's not the right kind of system where you know a guy like Tom Brady is going to get suspended four games for this, potentially two, maybe even none, like you just said. But if a guy like, you know, a Shaq Evans or a Quincy Nunwa got in trouble for this thing, they would probably get more games. It's just the way that it works in this NFL. It's obviously some people get different leverage options, you know, like things like that. Obviously, Tom Brady is probably the most prominent player, or at least a top five player in this league, at least as he's viewed. So we'll see how that turns out, but I think he should definitely be suspended. But for him, Sheldon Richardson, who smoked weed and a guy who beat his wife, obviously very aggressively, is only suspended for four games. And, you know, a guy like Ray Rice was suspended for just about an entire season, you know, after the video was released. Obviously, Roger Goodell has probably seen the video before this, but as soon as the video is released and the public saw it, he got suspended for basically a whole season. So I think just the way the NFL is going, I'm not going to act like, you know, people are going to click off the NFL or people are not going to watch the NFL because honestly, I don't care. You know, I'll watch an NFL game basically no matter what. So, but I honestly think for the people who are lesser fans and things like that, that people are, that, you know, Roger Goodell, they're going to have to leave, or that, you know, they're going to have to figure out this whole legal system because right now it's just obviously ridiculous with how some of these rulings are going. But no, we definitely have a lot to talk about, Vinny. And the first thing I want to hit on right now is, you know, like I said before, there's not a whole much to talk about. There's not a whole bunch of news. Obviously, the Sheldon news came out last week, but other than that, there really hasn't been too much. But I want to talk about some weaknesses on the team, you know, some areas that you feel the Jets might be weak in, you know, whether it be tight end or a receiving running back or maybe a coverage linebacker or something like that. Obviously, we have some concerns. There's no team in the NFL, even if it's the Seahawks, even if they're Patriots, that don't have some kind of weakness. So just tell me some of your weaknesses that you think are on the offensive side of the ball right now.
I mean, offensive side of the ball, when you look at this, you know, obviously the main one would be quarterback. We don't know what Geno Smith is going to, you know, provide this year with the quarterback position. I mean, you know what Geno has to do. Again, we've been going over this for, you know, for the 2 years he's been with the Jets. He just has to not turn the ball over. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, obviously harder. I mean, easier than it is, you know, said to be done. But, I mean, it's the guy who, you know, this year the Jets, again, providing so many weapons for Geno Smith, that he just has to be, you know, mediocre, and this team can win 9-10 games. But I mean, obviously, quarterback is my main one. The right guard, you know, with Willie Colon right now, as I mean, I'm not even sure if he's the projected starter. I wonder what that depth chart is looking like for Coach Bowles. But you know, Willie Colon, there's a lot of competition there with Brian Winters, Ode Abushi, and Dakota Dozier. So I mean, right there, that's a weakness in itself, that offensive line. You know, the wide receiver position, this is the most stacked our wide receiver position has looked in quite some time. Then we look at the tight end position, you know, what a disappointing year it was for Jeff Conrad last year. You know, a guy who, you know, showed so many sparks, Geno Smith's rookie year, really, you know, coming up for Geno Smith when they had success his rookie year. Remember, I like to highlight that that Atlanta Falcon game on Monday Night Football where Geno Smith really excelled. He had a guy, Jeff Crumlin, make some plays. He really didn't show up at all last year. You know, he had a case of the drops, which seemed to be like every Sunday. You know, but I think the tight end position has a chance to be very, very strong with a guy like Jason Morrow, obviously. You know, I like the addition of Callan Davis, a nice veteran to add in that locker room who's been there with Phillip Rivers, you know, throughout his career. So, I mean, you know, this offensive side is, you know, looking pretty good if they can figure out that, you know, that right guard position. You know, Brian Winters coming off that torn ACL. That's going to be, you know, a big competition, I think, him versus Willie Colon. But, again, you never know. Ode Abushi, you know, came in. He showed some flashes. and Dakota Dozier. You know, this guy has his spotlight of this this camp. He's versatile at center as well, moving around the offensive line. So I mean, there's a lot of a lot of things that guy can do, and that's always a plus to have an offense side of the ball. And then again, when you look at the defense side of the ball, I mean, this team was sixth last year in sacks, in the NFL. And that's with really, a non-existent outside linebacker. You know, when you look at a Calvin Pace, who's 34, going to be turning 35 this year. I mean, he's not a guy who you can pencil in for double-digit sacks. Obviously Quinn Coples, he's our prize first-round pick with 6.5 sacks last year. That needs to increase. And then, adding a guy like Lorenzo Malden, I think that's going to be huge with him and Quinn Coples in this system. If everyone is healthy on that defensive line, this system is going to provide Malden and Coples a lot of one-on-one coverage. And if they have that, you got to figure one of them is going to have a double-digit sacks. I really think Quinn Coples can get that 9, 10, 11 sacks this year. That's really on the defensive side. That's our only weakness really. When you look at the safety position with Marcus Gilchrist. This guy's still a big question mark.
We're talking about offense right now. You're wandering into defense right now, but I believe offense. You're starting to talk about Coples. You're starting to talk about Gilchrist. Clearly, I thought you said a little bit. I talked to you. I know you're riled up. I know you're a passionate fan. But right now, we're talking about offense. You don't gotta go into Coples. You don't gotta go into Gilchrist. You don't gotta go into DeMario Davis and David Harris's coverage skills. Right now, we're talking about offense. So I just want to ask you a quick question. This isn't a huge topic. This isn't a huge thing that really people are talking about. But do you think that a guy like Dozier, obviously he's a right guard / left guard. He played a little bit of tackle at Furman in college. But do you think that a guy like a Dozier playing center and playing a little bit of right guard is more imminent of him, being more of a backup at right guard and center and possibly left guard than him actually starting? I think that, in my personal opinion, a guy like Dozier playing center and playing more center than right guard actually right now from what I'm hearing is more, a little bit of that a guy like a Bushi and a guy like a Willie Clone, who I'm not a big fan of, a guy like Jarvis Harrison and a guy like Winters are actually competing for right guard. Do you think Dozier has a shot at right guard? Do you think he's just really strictly right now maybe a versatile backup?
Yeah, I think right now that right guard position is wide open. I think every other position is going to be occupied, even if Coach Poles does not want to, name a starter outside Nick Mangold and DeBrickshaw Ferguson on that offensive line. But I think, it's all going to come down to camp, which starts in 2 weeks. If Dakota Dozier can provide a boost, which, with Willie Colon, with his, inability to provide consistent play in the right guard.
And 1,400 penalties a year.
There's going to be a lot of competition on that right guard position. I think Brian Winters, if he comes in, obviously, again, coming off that torn ACL, if he can come in and provide, what he did before getting injured, I think this is going to be his spot early on in camp if he can stay healthy. Willie Colon, obviously, he's 32 years old. He's been a veteran, hometown boy, has a lot of things ruined for him. But, his play has, dipped, very, very much last year. So, I think with all the additions on the offensive side, this is a position where Coach Bowles knows he needs to have the best guy in that position. I think, Willie Colon was a big fan of Rex Ryan, as was Rex Ryan was a huge fan of Willie Colon. That's why he was, got that nod to begin with. So, this is going to be a wide open position. You never know. A guy like Jarvis Harrison, can step up and win the spot. I think it's going to be a clear cut, competition in camp. Let the best man win. That should be the case for every position, regardless of your name. So, Jarvis Harrison, going back to his college days, if he can, act and perform like an NFL player, I think this guy has a great chance of being a starting right guard for the Jets.
No, and the obviously we talk about the Jets, we talk about all their positions of strength, we talk about, linebacker, we talk about outside linebacker, we talk about safety, we talk about corner, we talk about running back. But, obviously, to me at least, I don't know about you, Vinny, I've talked about this definitely with Brandon, but the most important positions on the team are quarterback. It's offensive line, it's defensive line, and it's cornerback. So for us to have two questions, Obviously, at quarterback and offensive line is definitely a huge concern for me. And you're talking about offensive line. You're talking about, you know, can Jarvis Harrison start at right guard? Could a guy like Abushi? Who is the backup? You know, who right now? Who is the backup? Honestly, if we're talking, you know, we're talking just right now. We're talking, you know, deep into the depth chart. But if a guy like a Giacomini, who gets burned by guys like Cameron Rick, any speed rusher, I don't care if they're a decent to below average type of speed rusher, a guy like Giacomini gets completely blown by. I don't know if you guys, you know, the Jets fans out there have watched film, but if you really want to go and watch film, you know, figure out how to do that. Go watch the film and see how bad a guy like Giacomini actually is against speed rushers. It's actually quite embarrassing. You know, I work at a you know, security, and sometimes, you know, I'm a little bored, so I watch some film with some people, and I really get some insight on them, but a guy like Giacomini is not a solid right tackle at all. If anything, he's average to a below average, so that's scary right now. And then you have a guy like a Ferguson, who is really good in pass coverage, but when you really, I mean, in pass protection, but when you look at his run game, and when it comes out to driving guys out 5 to 10 yards, you know, blocking up for guys like Chris Ivory or Stephen Ridley or Powell, whoever it may be, he's really weak in the run game. Obviously, a guy like Carpenter is going to start at left guard because we wouldn't have signed him to all the money we did if he's not going to start. You look at a guy like Mengel, that's solid. But in your opinion, you know, who is going to start at left tackle or right tackle if a guy like a Brickashaw Ferguson or Giacomini go down? That's one of the biggest questions I have right now, in my opinion. That this starting offensive line is middle of the pack to maybe a little bit above, a little bit below. It depends on where they play this year. It depends how a guy like Giacomini, a guy like Abushi plays. Because Abushi did honestly show a lot of promise towards the end of the year. And obviously, in the beginning, he struggled because he's just coming off, replacing Brian Winters. And he's a middle to late round draft pick. So he's not going to come out and he's not going to be a DeBrickashaw Ferguson or a Mangold. So he had his struggles. And obviously, we all expect that. We're not unrealistic Jets fans. The biggest concern with this offensive line is the depth. So if a guy like Ferguson goes down, you know, who's going to start at his left tackle spot if a guy like Ferguson goes down? Because we've been lucky. You know, Ferguson is – I don't believe he missed any games. I believe a guy like a Mangold has only missed one or two games. So, you know, what do you think about the depth on this offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. If Brickashaw Ferguson goes down, the Jets are going to be in a world
we're
of trouble. We're
screwed.
Yeah, I mean,
we're screwed. We're screwed.
Yeah, I mean, then we're looking at a guy like a James Brewer starting perhaps at left tackle, a guy like Brent Quayle. I mean, there's these are big question marks who will be starting in place of an All-Pro, you know, guy who has never missed a game for the Jets. I mean, that's why. You know, Dakota Dozier is trying to, you know, that's why maybe they're putting, moving him around just in case because they know these guys, Nick Mangold, DeBrickashaw Ferguson, they're getting up there in the age department, you know, and any single snap, you know, one of these guys could be out for the whole year. We have been lucky enough for these two guys to, you know, really never miss a game as a Jet. But, I mean, you know, there's going to be a lot of competition, which is good. I know they're going to bring in a lot of guys. It's just going to – if DeBrickashaw Ferguson or Nick Mangold goes down, Geno Smith is going to be—he's going to be screwed, regardless of what one. Hopefully,
there you go, Vinny.
Because
I know it's your second show. I know it's your second show, Vinny. But just, you know what? I want you to be honest. I want you to call it how it is. So just tell me. You know, if the left tackle goes down, let's just be honest here. This team is screwed. We keep going.
Yeah, I mean, if this left tackle goes down, I think they're going to be running the ball to the right side about 30 times a game.
Yeah.
Because I mean, no way they're going to have a. You know, regardless of who is on that left side of the end for the opposing team, it's going to be a nightmare. Like that's like me playing quarterback out there. So it's not going to be pretty. I mean, they just got to hope. You know, I don't think, you know, these guys know what to do, obviously. I mean, they have never got hurt and there's been a reason. Their technique is, that's why they've been all pros, all Pro Bowl type of players. So, I mean, I don't think any of these guys are, knock on wood, go down. You know, during the season, but you know, I really like the addition of James Carpenter. No one has really even talked about him at all this offseason. Big James, the former first round pick. I think he, I think he's gonna step in and be a really top 15 type of a guard for the Jets. But man, it's just that right guard is just gonna be a big question mark. You know, Willie Colon, you know, he had his ups and downs. Meaning last year was a world down.
No. You know what I say to Willie Colon? It's a word that me and you went, you know, strictly by in high school. Is just straight no. Just no. So,
hello.
You make some good points. we're not going to go through the whole entire roster right now. We're not going to do the whole depth chart, you know, who's going to be outside linebacker, who's going to be at safety. But, you know, if you had to predict right now of who was going to be on this offensive line, are we going to carry 8 guys? Are we going to carry 9 guys, possibly 10 guys? You know, if you're Mike Maccagnan and you had to make this decision right now, who are you carrying on this offensive line? Obviously, we need a tackle. We need a guy who can play maybe center, maybe a little bit of right guard or left guard, like a guy like Dozier. We need a guy who can play right tackle. We need a guy who can play, you know, we need a guy who's basically versatile. So are you carrying 8, 9, maybe 10 offensive line? I doubt 10, that's a little bit too much, but you look at offensive line, how many are you carrying and who is it going to be?
You know, I think they're going to go with 8. You know, obviously, I'm going to go with DeBrickshaw Ferguson, James Carpenter, Nick Mangold, Giacomini. You know, right now, you know, I really think Willie Cohn is not going to make this team. I just have a hunch that he's going to get beat out by, you know, I think Brian Winters is going to take that starting spot for him. So right there in itself is 5. Then I think you got to go with a guy like James Brewer, a veteran who has, you know, started, I think, over 70 games or 60 games. You know, the Giants, you know, a bunch of teams he's been with. He's, you know, a veteran who'll be good to, you know, help Giacomini and Obuchi. I think those are the last two in. So, you know, to mentor them, you know, just in case any of these guys do go down, because James Brewer, you know, I like that addition. I hope he stays because he's a veteran. He's going to be a good guy in that locker room for the younger offensive linemen and even the older offensive linemen like, you know, Nick Mangold and DeBrickashaw. And this guy, you know, he's a crafty vet, I like to call him. So, man, I think there in itself is those 8 guys that are going to make the team. I don't think Willie Cohn will make this team out of camp. You know, I don't think he's going to, you know, want to sign with the practice squad. So, man, I really think this is Willie Cohn's last hoorah with the Jets. You know, if he has a great camp, then I hope, I hope he does. You know, I hope if he has a great camp, he deserves to make this team because he started, I believe, over 30 games the last 2 years for the Jets. So, I mean, I think they're going to go with 8. You know, I like what Coach Bull did with making Jason Morrow the H-back. That's what he lined him up as. And, you know, the Jets are going to have a lot of, you know, 2-3 running back sets out there with Geno Smith. So, I mean, there's going to be times where they're going to have to protect, whether it be a Jeff Cumberland and Jason Morrow on that offensive line at the same time. You know, they're going to do a lot of mixing up and matching up. So, I mean, it's a team, you know, with downhill runners like a Chris Ivory, like a Steven Ridley, where this team is going to have a, you know, good protection to thrive.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, you look at this backup position, obviously you have, you know, projected starters. You have a Ferguson at left tackle. You have Carpenter at left guard. You have Mangold at center. I'm going to say, obviously, Obuchi right now is a right guard, if I had to guess right now. You have Giacomini at right tackle. But then you have, you know, 3 or 4 positions right now as backups. So you're looking at a guy like Dozier for Furman, who obviously showed a lot. He can play center. At least they're playing him at center, and he can play guard a little bit. And you're looking at a guy like Winters, who was a starter for a little bit, and then he obviously got injured, and then a guy like Obuchi had to come in. So you're looking at a guy like Winters probably being there. You're looking at a 5th-round draft pick, who everybody was saying could be a potential 3rd or even 4th-round draft pick if he didn't have some of the, you know, problems with dedication that he actually had. So you're looking at a guy like Jarvis Harrison being there. And then are you going to cut a guy like a James Brewer? He's had starting experience. Are you going to cut a guy like a Qualay, whatever you say his name, I don't really know. Are you going to cut a guy like him? Or are you going to cut a guy like Charles Brown, who's had starting experience? Are you going to cut a guy, like you said, a Brewer? Or are you going to cut a guy like a Cologne? So it's definitely going to be a position to watch, especially as, you know, June or July 30th rolls around when training camp comes. I'm pretty sure that me and you are going to somehow find our way up to training camp, or we're going to, you know, take some videos. We're going to break it down. We're going to break down every position that we see. So that's definitely going to be fun. But, you know, the offensive line is definitely a very intriguing position. We'll see how it actually plays out. You know, who's going to be at right guard? Is Giacomini, you know, solidified as a right tackle of this team? So that's definitely a huge question mark for this team. And it sucks to have a question mark that big at the offensive line, other than quarterback or defensive line.
This early.
You know, it's definitely a top three worry. But I think that a guy like Maccagnan definitely brought in guys like a Brewer, like a Charles Brown, like a Qualay. He kept the guy like Ajalana around. There's a lot of competition at this offensive line. So we'll see what happens there. We'll see who really, you know, pushes himself out in front of the pack. But you know, the next position we talked about is a tight end position. Do you think that it's, you know, solidified as a guy like a you know, like a Morrow, like a Cumberland, and like a Kellen Davis? Or do you think a guy like a Wes Sacton, an undrafted free agent from South Alabama, you know, has a shot? Do you think a guy like a, you know, Zach Sudfeld can reserve a spot? Obviously, I know he's injured and he got hurt from Callan Pryor, hurting him at practice. But do you think he can realistically make the roster when he's back, you know, healthy? Or do you think it's really solidified as a Kellen Davis, as a Cumberland, as and as a Jason Morrow? Do you think there's, you know, a chance for somebody else to get in to this position?
Yeah, I do. I think there's only one name that's locked in at a tight end. I think it's only Jason Morrow. You know, after the year Jeff Cumberland had, I think he should be on the roster bubble, because, you know, there's a guy, Wes Sacton, you know, coming out of a very small school, but this guy with very, you know, a lot of physical athletic ability as a tight end. So, I mean, this guy who can, you know, realistically, in my mind, come in, you know, and compete, you know, right with or even better, you know, than Jeff Cumberland. You know, Kellen Davis, obviously, the veteran, the guy who can, you know, the guy can do it all. He can, you know, he can catch, he can run block, he can pass block. That's why I believe he's coming in for those third down situations to come in, you know, add extra blocker. And, you know, I mean, and Jason Morrow, this guy, you know, all the tools in the world as a tight end, you know, had over 100 catches his last year in college at Texas Tech. This guy who's shown, you know, games last year where he had 10 catches a game, but then he had games where he had no catches. So, I mean, this is an offense that I think is going to fit Jason Morrow perfectly. You know, Chan Gailey really likes to use those tight ends, especially in that H-back role. He's going to be in a slot a lot. He's going to be all over the field. And this guy, I mean, let's be honest, you know, he's 6'6". You know, he's a big guy, 230, 240 pounds. I mean, he's, you know, he's going to overmatch a cornerback. He's too fast for a linebacker, and he's bigger than most safeties. So, I mean, it's going to be a lot of mismatch there for Jason Morrow. I think he's going to have a really big year. And by really big, I mean, I would say a 50-catch year I'm aiming for Jason Morrow this year. But then Jeff Cumberland, again, you know, we've seen what he did 2 years ago. He was last year, he was, you know, where was he last year? What did he do for me last year at all, Jeff Cumberland? He did nothing, bud.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, he did jack squat, bud. And so, I mean, I think he should be on, you know, on the roster bubble. Seriously, you know, this guy, you know, he signed a 3-year deal, you know, after, I believe, last year. When not a lot of money guaranteed. So, I mean, the Jets can be flexible there. And I really like Kellen Davis, but, you know, Wes Sacton, you know, I can't wait till we go up to those camps. I believe the first open one to the public is July 31st. I believe we will be there. You know, hopefully we get a chance to see what Wes, you know, what Wes Sacton can do for this team, you know. You know, whether it be on special teams, you know, because he's a big guy. You know, we've seen his highlight films. He's a big guy. He can, you know, he can run, he can catch, he can do everything. So, I mean, we'll see what he can do, especially if Jeff Cumberland, you know, starts out slow in camp this year. I think Wes Sacton has a real opportunity to take over Jeff Cumberland's spot.
No, it's definitely, you know, like I said before, with the offensive line, it's definitely an interesting position. A lot of people right now, at least I see on Bleacher Report, on Chat Sports, wherever it may be, it's really a lock between Jeff Cumberland, Jason Morrow, and a Kellen Davis. But the thing with Kellen Davis is, and just that position in general, I think after last year, and you've seen a guy like Zach Sudfeld, who is kind of just really in the middle. He doesn't really do anything well. You look at a guy like Jeff Cumberland, who's clearly he's strictly a receiving tight end, and Jason Morrow, obviously coming from Texas Tech, is strictly a receiving tight end too. And you make a good point, you know, Jason Morrow is going to be lined up as an H-back. He's going to be lined up in the slot, even sometimes out wide. He's going to be lined up near the sidelines, trying to create mismatches with those smaller corners and things like that. It depends on who the Jets are actually playing. But like you said, I think if Jason Morrow is a lock, obviously you're not going to cut a second-round pick who was a potential first-round pick in 2014's draft. He's not going anywhere. But a guy like Jeff Cumberland, we've talked about him for years. Every year it's supposed to be, you know, Jeff Cumberland's breaking out. He's going to get 600 yards and 8 touchdowns and all this stuff. You know, Cumberland in 2013 against the Falcons, he looked like a good tight end. But in his games, and I always forget this game, but I don't know why I always forget it. But that game when Jeff Cumberland basically jogged and forgot, you know, to even run to catch that ball, probably within a 40 or 50 yard completion over the middle. You know, he just shows laziness. He's not a blocking tight end. He doesn't even catch the ball very well. And you see a guy like Jason Morrow who caught, I mean, he only played 34% of the snaps, and a guy like Jeff Cumberland played almost 70% of the snaps. You know, Jeff Cumberland didn't really produce too well. So there's a guy like Wes Sacton from South Alabama who showed some quickness, you know, 4'6", 40, who's too big for safeties and corners, but who's too fast for a guy like linebackers. Is he going to make the team? Is a guy like a Todd Bowles and a Mike McKagan, you know, really not going to show, any dedication to these guys who've been on the roster when a guy like Rex Ryan and a guy like Mike Tannenbaum or Charles Oger here? Or are they going to accept a guy like a Wes Saxton? Are they going to accept a guy like a Tywan Jones? Are they going to accept a guy like a Darrell Eskridge? You know, training camp and the final 53-man roster when that comes down in August are definitely going to be, you know, huge talking points for us, and we're definitely going to run down the 53-man roster. But like I said, you know, obviously the offensive line is a position of concern. Tight end is going to be very interesting. I think that's a little bit of a concern right now. But then we go to running back. You know, we're talking about the offensive side of the ball. You know, is a Zach Stacy going to be here? Is a Powell going to be here? Does a guy like Darrell Richardson, you know, have a shot? We can't sign him to the practice squad after this year because he's been on the practice squad for 20 years. So it's either we cut a guy like Darrell Richardson or he's signed to the, you know, roster. How does the running back position look right now? Who's going to be the third down back? Who's going to block, Geno Smith, even though obviously you know that a guy like Powell, I think, is severely underrated as a pass blocker. Is Powell going to be there? Is Zach Stacy going to be there? Is Ridley going to be there? Is Ridley going to be on the PUP list? You know, how does this position, turn out when the 53-man roster is actually completed in middle to late August?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now you look at a guy, Chris Ivory, back-to-back 800-yard seasons for the Jets, a guy who has been, you know, he's still fresh when he's 27 years old, has been, you know, at times very unutilized in the Jets' offensive scheme. You know, how many times can we date back to that Lions game, you know, when he burst out for 60 yards and then got, you know, virtually not used for an entire game? It's just, there's a lot of upside at this running back position. You know, Chris Ivory, I think he's a clear-cut guy. I expect another 800-yard-plus season from him this year, even if a Stephen Ridley is healthy at the beginning of the year. I really think Chris Ivory is the guy. Yeah, I mean, I think Chris Ivory has another 800 yards in him, definitely. He's very fresh. You know, he doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield. I think only like 14 or 15 career catches out of the backfield. Yep. So this guy who is strictly a downhill runner, I think he's, if the offensive line can stay healthy and with all the weapons on the outside, with all the teams putting their linebackers on tight ends, you know, double teaming on Brandon Marshall, having a safety look at Devin Smith, have a safety on Jeremy Curley, and, you know, another cornerback on Eric Decker. No, I mean, there's only so many guys that can tackle Chris Ivory one-on-one. So, I mean, I think I would take his odds one-on-one in most battles. I mean, I think a lot of Jets would, then you look at a guy, Blah Paul, you said it excellently. His guy has been, very underrated for the Jets. He can, for a small guy, he can block like a big guy. He can really block. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run the ball. He can run the ball well. He can do everything. You know, he's a great addition for this team who has been here, I feel like he's, been underappreciated so much by this Jets offense. I think this year he's gonna not break out, have a C.J. Spiller type of year like Chang Yeo is used to back in Buffalo. But, a poor man's C.J. Spiller, I mean, I'm not sure if that's too far-fetched for a guy like Bilal Powell, but this guy can catch 30 balls out of the backfield. This guy can get 100 running, rushing attempts a year. Then you look at a guy like Stephen Ridley. You know, obviously we know what we can do. But, 2 years ago he had that 1,300-yard over 1,200 yards with the Patriots. But, an ACL is nothing to play with, obviously, as we know in this game where running backs get taken out by their knees every single play. So, I mean, with that said, I think if Stephen Ridley, starts out on the PUP list, which I think he should, even if he is, a game-time decision week one, I think you got to put him on the PUP list for the main reason that we have that bye week, week five. So he's going to be missing five games if he starts on the PUP list. And, in that case, he comes back fresh. Chris Ivory, again, has a history of injuries. So this guy, Stephen Ridley, can come in. He can provide a game where he has, 7 to 10 rushes, giving a guy like Chris Ivory some relief in the rushing game. But then that fourth spot is going to be a toss-up between two ex-teammates in the Rams and now two teammates now with the Jets, with Darrell Richardson and Zach Stacy. That's going to be a toss-up. Two different, totally different running backs. Bilal Powell and Darrell Richardson, very similar, very short, very speedy, can catch the ball in the backfield. Zach Stacy, quite frankly, the opposite. He's more of a Chris Ivory type of runner, more of a Stephen Ridley downhill runner. This guy was average under 4 yards a carry in his career. I know that Rams offensive line was brutal, but it's going to be tough for him to make the roster, I think, just for the fact, because Chris Ivory and Stephen Ridley are going to make the roster. I mean, you're going to have same type of running backs in, you know, in your system with all, you know, with all these, you know, these guys virtually doing the same thing? Or are you going to have a Darrell Richardson who can, you know, he can provide sparks. He can be I believe he's faster than Bilal Powell. He can, you know, provide some help there. So, I mean, I think when you look at this running back position, I think it's going to be Chris Ivory, Bilal Powell, Stephen Ridley, and I think Darrell Richardson's going to make this team. You know, obviously the Jets have seen something, you know, seen something in him if they wanted to keep him on this practice squad. So, I mean, I think he's going to have some opportunity to shine this camp, whether it be in a screen passing game, whether it be in a blocking game, you know, whether it be getting just three to five touches a game, whatever it may be. You know, this there's been games last year where Bilal Powell had no touches a game. So, I mean, Darrell Richardson's going to have to get accustomed to that if he makes his team, which I think he would be fine with, you know, coming in when his name is called and, you know, stepping up. He, you know, we've seen what he can do with the Rams when he was with them. I mean, this guy, you know, this is a strong suit, the running back position, even with the Stephen Ridley being hurt, say, the first six games, because Chris Ivory and Bilal Powell have done it the last few years without this stud wide receiver core, in my opinion. So, I mean, when you add, you know, Chris Ivory last year, you know, we've seen games where Geno Smith has looked so poorly and teams are stacking eight, nine guys in that box. And when they knew where they were going to run the ball, and at times Chris Ivory would just run right through him, you know. So this guy has, you know, all the power in the world, all the toughness in the world. If Chris Ivory can stay healthy, again, I expect another 800-plus season from him. And, you know, right there, I think that those are your four running backs for the Jets this year.
You know, I don't think you're looking at Ivory having a plus 1,000-yard season. Obviously, you have a guy like Ridley, who you mentioned. I think he's going to make this team when you're looking at, you know, 2012 when he had 1,200, almost close to 1,300 rushing yards. And you have a guy like Ivory, who I've obviously gloated about before. I think he's an underrated back in this league. I believe this year he was actually number one or number two in yards at their first contact, which is just obviously a crazy stat that a guy like Ivory, who's so ridiculously underrated in my mind, is better than guys like AP is obviously out this year, but a guy like a Jamal Charles or a guy like LeSean McCoy, I think Marshawn Lynch might have been the only guy who was actually higher than him in yards at the first contact. So a guy like Ivory is severely underrated. You talk about the Lions game. I talk about the Lions game all the time. He ran for, 50 to 60 yards in the first drive, and for some reason, the guy who's just basically, you know, he's a god, obviously, a guy like Marty Mornaway, who just, you know, didn't run in after that for three more drives and decided to run a guy like a Chris Johnson. You look at a guy like Powell, who is very underrated in my mind as a passing, I mean, as a, you know, blocking third down type of running back. He definitely can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can definitely block for a guy like Geno, so I think a guy like a Powell was here, but As far as the running back position goes with carrying four running backs, whether it be a guy like a Zach Stacy or a guy like Darrell Richardson at that fourth spot, you know, are the Jets going to carry a fullback? Are they going to carry a guy like a Tommy Bahadden? Do they feel it's necessary? Because obviously a guy like Chan Gailey doesn't use fullback as much as a traditional offense does. Are they going to carry a guy like J.C. Copeland, you know, who they picked up this year? So it really depends. I think if they carry a fullback, they'll carry three running backs, in my opinion, who would probably be Ivory, who would probably be a guy like Ridley, who might start the year on the PUP list, and it might be a guy like Powell. But if they don't carry a guy like a J.C. Copeland or a Tommy Bohannon, then a guy like a Zach Stacy or a guy, you know, like a Darrell Richardson has a spot to fight for. But obviously it relates to how many corners they carry, how many safeties are they carry, how many defensive linemen they carry, and they carry an extra defensive lineman because a guy like Sheldon Richardson is out for 4 weeks. You know, how is this all going to work out? But, you know, Vinny, we'll get back to that in a little bit. We actually have a caller, and this is Randy, who wants to talk about the tight end position. What's up, Randy? Thank you for calling the show and, you know, hit us with some Jets talk.
Thanks for having me on the show tonight, guys. I heard you use the word honest earlier when I walked in, and I want to be honest. I'm going to be real honest with you guys.
I was in the shower, right?
I was just listening to you guys talk, right? And you guys talk about Jason Morrow like he's Tony Gonzalez, man, and it really got me upset. I think Jeff Cumberland is the better tight end. I know this guy is younger. He drops every time I watch the game, this guy's dropping balls, Jason Morrow. This guy can't catch an open freaking pass, man. I'm riding with Jeff Cumberland, man. Remember my name, Randy. Remember this. When Jeff walks to trader camp and all this, just know I'm with him. I'm riding with him, man. How many touchdowns did Jace have last year? I think, was it three? What did
It was like two or three.
I think it was three, and Cumberland had two. Like, really, we don't have any superstars over here, but I'm riding with Jess, man. I believe in this man. I believe in him. He's not dropping the he's not dropping as many passes as Jason. So I'm riding with Jess this year, man. I'm riding with him.
See, the thing about Jason, I mean, Jason Morrow, is he played about, I believe it was 34% of the snaps last year, and he produced almost as much as a guy like Jeff Cumberland did. Jeff Cumberland's had, you know, 3 to 4 years to really prove himself, and he had, I believe it was, what, 23 to 24 catches last year. There's a couple of plays where you clearly saw that he took off. Every single offseason, it seems like I'm either talking to Vinny or, you know, guys like you, Randy, and we're talking about, you know, how Jeff Cumberland can break out, and he never actually does it. He drops those balls. And I know that a guy like Jason Morrow, he had 6 drops last year, but he's a rookie. You can't expect a rookie like Jason Morrow to come out and to catch every ball thrown his way, to turn up field and create yards after catch like a guy like Tony Gonzalez can. I'm just saying that, you know, obviously Jason Morrow doesn't equal, you know, Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates, but when a guy like Cumberland plays almost 70% of the snaps, and a guy like Jason Morrow plays 30% of the snaps or 34% of the snaps, you know, a guy like Jason Morrow really deserves some snaps. And I think a guy like Jeff Cumberland, you know, is actually on the roster bubble. He really hasn't produced much. I believe is for in the last 3 years, he had like 300, 400, 300 yards, and he really just hasn't shown much to me. So I think he, you know, is actually in danger of getting cut. You know, Vinny, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I, Randy, you make a good point. Jeff Cumberland, obviously the veteran, but I mean, still young, still really unproven in my eyes. You know, had that semi breakout year 2 years ago.
He's 28. I think he's 28 years old right now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
Gates is 23.
I mean, but when you look at last year, I think Jeff Cumberland, if he can return to that form he had 2 years ago, he's going to be a guy who may have more catches than Jason Morrow this year. But going on the basis of last year, when Jason Morrow had 15 more catches than Jeff Cumberland and far less playing time. Now, I think Jason Morrow, you know, clearly has better speed than Jeff Cumberland. You know, their hands, both of their hands are, you know, not the best, not what you look for in a tight end, you know, so to speak. But, I mean, again, like Joe said, Jason Morrow was a rookie last year. You know, coming into an offense, I think this is going to benefit both them in this offense. You know, bringing in guys like Brandon Marshall, bringing in guys like a Devin Smith. You know, they're going to have a lot of one-on-one coverage without the fear of a safety. I believe a lot of their drops last year, you know, they heard the footsteps. They heard, you know, the safeties coming in for that hit because they were, you know, didn't have to worry about any of the Jets receivers last year. So, I mean, when you look at these two guys, I mean, I think Jeff Cumberland, you know, they need a good year from Jeff Cumberland. You know, last year he didn't show up at all for any games. He had 23 catches last year and, like Joe said, played over 70% of the snaps. I mean, you can't have that if you're a starting tight end in the NFL, regardless. You know, I mean, you know, it's just, there's no excuses for that. So, I mean, Jeff.
Listen, hold on. He had 28 catches, right? With 2 touchdowns. Your boy Jace had 38. No, yo, Jace had 2. And I think Cumberland
Jace
had 3.
Jace had 2, Jeff had 3. Yeah.
Come on, what do we want here? What do we want? We want touchdowns, right? I know it's only one touchdown.
One more?
It's only one. It's only one more, but I'm saying,
yeah,
dude, come
get
15
more catches.
Yeah, I understand, man. But I don't know. We can't really argue that because there's only one, so it's really no big deal.
Yeah, I know.
But
I mean, it's peas and pods right here. But I mean,
yeah,
this is a position where they both have to improve. You know, they both have to improve vastly.
The thing for me, Randy and Vinny, is the thing. You know, the fact that a guy like Jason Morrow and Jeff Cumberland almost had the same production when a guy like Jason Morrow played, you know, almost 50% less in the snaps than Jason Morrow. I mean, than Jeff Cumberland did. So Jason Morrow plays 34% of the snaps, has almost the same production as a guy Jeff Cumberland who played 70% of the snaps. And Jason Morrow is in his rookie year, and he's playing in an in-line blocking tight end position, where he's obviously clearly not suited out for. After coming out of you know, Texas Tech, where he played almost spread, he's almost more of a wide receiver than he actually was a tight end. So is Chan Gailey going to use him right? Is he going to use him as clearly an H-back, you know, playing in the slot, playing out wide more than he is blocking? You know, it's a huge question mark. How is Chan Gailey going to use this offense? Everybody says, you know, he's going to play spread and he's going to pass the ball more. But then when he was with the Steelers in the 90s, he was running the ball more than he actually was passing it. So I think a guy like Chan Gailey really plays to his strength. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see. But, you know, Randy, we obviously appreciate the call. And, you know, we talked about tight ends, but now – you know, we have to get into the nitty-gritty and talk about the quarterback. We haven't heard you talk about Geno Smith. What are your expectations for Geno Smith? Do you think he's going to hold down his starting job for this year? Do you think a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to come in? Or do you think a guy like a Bryce Petty, which is a little bit of a wild card, will he come in this year? You know, what do you think about the quarterback position of the Jets, which is obviously the most important position to any football team?
Okay, another, I'm going to be honest once again. I'm a Jets fan first. I love
we
the
like
Jets
you. We like you. Randy, yes. We love the honesty. Bring the honesty. All right. Do it.
I have a Jets tattoo on my wrist. I have two Jets tattoos.
God.
I'm a Jets fan. Die hard. I've been in fights. I live in Queens. I'm from Queens, New York, so it gets rowdy over here if you talk to a Giants fans or whoever. So I'm a Geno fan. I bought a shirt. I don't buy shirts for athletes. I just buy Jets. If you got a Jets symbol on it, I got it. But I went to Modell's and spent $35, I think, for this shirt with the number 7 and Smith on the back. So I'm riding with Geno.
Randy, I'm
invested. You are invested.
Is that more of a you know, a signature of you spending your $35 and wasting your $35? Is there more of you belief in Geno? You know, is it you're wasting your money? Or,
last year, I bought it last year. He was real sloppy. I almost brought it back, but I threw out the receipt. So I'm going to keep it. I got to keep it. So I'm going to stick with him. I believe in him, man. I really believe in this kid, man. We got the weapons, Marshall. Him and Marshall have chemistry now, or that I see on Twitter. They're joking around with each other. They got videos.
They're
doing
with each other.
Do his thing. Yeah, Ivory is going to step up. If the line could just hold it and he could just see the field better, and he has to work on audibles. I rarely see him call a perfect audible, except for the game in Atlanta. Like, was that last year or 2 years ago when he did the little audible?
When your boy Jeff Cumberland had a nice TD grab, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Cumberland. Yeah, let's talk about that. Well, forget about that. but yeah, I believe in Geno. I think he will succeed. He will flourish. He will do his thing. He will.
No, we'll definitely, you know, we'll definitely see. You see a guy like Cumberland, who I said, you know, played almost 2%. I mean, 50% more than a guy like Geno. But the thing with Geno and you is are you more invested in him because you bought his shirt and you possibly could have wasted money just like I bought a Brett Favre jersey in 2008 when he came here, you know? Or is it the fact that you think that he can actually be the quarterback of this team with a guy like Chan Gailey coming in, running the spread offense, with a guy like Marshall coming in? Hopefully a guy like Decker actually is, you know, healthy and he doesn't have these hamstring problems like he did last year. So, you know, my question to you, Randy, is, after this year, let's just say, if you looked in a crystal ball right now, what would Geno's stats have to look like after this year for you to keep him and not have to draft a guy, you know, next year in the draft, like a guy like a Chris Hackenberg or, you know, one of the three quarterbacks they have in Ohio State? You know, what are you looking for from Geno this year to actually solidify his position in 2000 and, you know, in the next season's coming?
He has to have under, I don't want to be too brutal because I'm going to say under 12 interceptions. You cannot have nothing over 12. If that's what's killing him. Interceptions is what's killing him. If he can be under 12, we will be okay. We will be great. I believe it. That's all I want from him. Because he's going to score. He's going to score. He has the legs. He could scramble. He could do whatever he wants. But just don't throw the ball away to the other team, and we will succeed. The defense will. Oh, my gosh. The defense is going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah.
The corners, the D-line, Sheldon with the – hey, forget about Sheldon. He'll be all right. But we will be good. We're gonna be okay, man.
As long as Sheldon doesn't decide to, you know, let up that bong or, you know, blunt, whatever he decides to do, hopefully he doesn't do that and he's actually here for the next, you know, 12 games. But, you know, Randy, we definitely appreciate the call. I'm not sure if we've talked to you before when it was me and Brandon.
Never
called. We definitely do appreciate the call. We appreciate the support, and honestly, we really do hope that you do call the show in the next coming weeks, or even maybe next week, because we definitely do appreciate your knowledge and your Jets overall knowledge.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Randy.
All right,
thanks, Randy. We definitely appreciate it. All right, so you know, Vinny, I asked the question to Randy. You know, what do you think after this season? You know, what are you looking from Geno? Obviously, you know, he can have a year where he's 16-16 with interceptions and picks. But honestly, at the end of this year, you know, Randy was trying to be brutally honest with us. He was being brutally honest about the tight end position, even though I don't necessarily agree with his position about, you know, Jeff Crumlin, because Jeff Crumlin played almost two times percent of snaps as a guy like Jason Maher did. But we appreciate all opinions here. We love all the callers.
I love it. Definitely love to talk to Randy.
But you know, what are you expecting from Geno this year? Maybe not your expectations necessarily, but what does Geno have to do in your eyes this year to solidify his spot for next season? What does he have to prove to you?
I mean, I think it's pretty simple. There's only one word he has to do it, and that's win. I mean, obviously, if he can just, you know, winning solves everything. But this is a guy, you know, I believe he has thrown, I think it's 9 or 10 more interceptions than touchdowns in his career with the Jets. This is a guy, like Randy said before, you know, he can use his legs to generate some scores, get first downs. Yep. You know, when he thrives, I mean, obviously, look at that, the only perfect passing game last year. You know, two of those touchdowns were him running up, stepping up in the pocket, which I think he's going to have to do a lot this year with this offensive line that is given to him. And he's going to have a lot of chances to throw downfield, which he can excel. You know, Changeli, like Changeli said, he can make every throw in the book. I think Geno can, you know, especially given guys, they've really done everything, in their power to make Geno Smith a top, you know, a top 15 quarterback. That's all I ask for him. I mean, no, even the top 20, I'll tell you, a guy that can throw 24 touchdowns, 18 interceptions with three or four on the ground. That's the type of year I'm looking at for Geno Smith, because I know the interceptions are going to come. You know, he hasn't reached that, you know, that a level in his career where he's going to have back-to-back three touchdown, no interceptions games with a rushing touchdown in one of those games. You know, he's not the type of quarterback yet. So, I mean, this is a guy who I think, you know, again, mid-20s in touchdowns. I know he's going to be a guy in the teens, I'd say, I hope, in the interception category. And the guy who can add four touchdowns on the ground. The guy who I'm looking at maybe around 30 total touchdowns on the year. And then, with this rushing game, they're going to have Chris Ivory. They're going to have Stephen Ridley at the goal line. They're going to have big targets in Jason Morrow and Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. And like Randy's boy, hopefully Jeff Crumlin gets sleep. He took off last year. I mean, it's going to be a lot of weapons for Geno Smith. But in order to solidify him, you know, for next season, he's going to have to put up those types of numbers. And if he does, I think this is a team who can make the playoffs if he puts up a mid-20s and mid-teens quarterback-to-touchdown ratio.
No, you look at the, like what you said with Geno, is he going to throw, you know, 2-1 interceptions? I believe the caller last week said he's going to throw 3-4. I believe it was Zach, actually. You know, that might be a little bit of a higher expectation for Geno. But if he can act like a Alex Smith type or a mid-to-bottom 20s starter, like maybe an Andy Dalton or Alex Smith or a guy like maybe even Kaepernick, who, you know, in his first couple of years was a really, people were thinking he's a top 10 quarterback, and now he really fell off into bottom tier quarterback. But if he can play like that, like a guy like a Mark Sanchez did, you know how I feel about Mark Sanchez, but if he can play a little bit above that Mark Sanchez level, if Mark Sanchez was good or even decent, or even maybe Rex Ryan's play calling was decent in that Steelers game, could the Jets have made it to the Super Bowl and, you know, passed the Steelers in that AFC Championship game? They probably could have. So, and you're looking at the team right now, you're looking at the defense, which some can argue that the 2009-2010 team was better, but, you know, you also have a great argument for this team being better. You look at the defensive line compared to, you know, Chris Jenkins, Sione Pua, and that kind of team. But then you look at, you know, the Revises and the Cromarties being older, when the Jets had a younger Revis and Alito Shepard and a Donald Strickland back in those days. You know, we'll definitely see. I think the defense it will be at least equal, if not maybe a little bit better than it was. So Geno really, like we've talked about, we'll be talking about this Vinny until, you know, September. We'll be talking about it in preseason. We'll be talking about it in the first couple of games. We'll obviously be talking about it for the next couple of months. Yeah. It's obviously the quarterback position is very important, so we'll be talking about it. But Geno has everything to prove this year. This is his third year. You can't blame it on, you know, the rookie shakes, or, you know, it's his second year. He can't, you know, different offense or whatever it may be. Obviously, I know the first 2 years he had morning way. And this year, you know, you can't really blame it on a guy like Changeli, because he's in a spread offense, which I think will really help Geno.
Yeah.
So, you know, like we talked about a million times, this is Geno's last shot to prove it. But before, you know, you talked about the defense being, you know, sixth in sacks. You know, how much does the secondary help the defense? How much, you know, do the sack numbers go up? I don't know how much it was last year. I believe it was right around 40, and we were only about 13 down from the Bills. So I believe the Bills were actually number one at like 53 with the most sacks in the NFL. So how much does the secondary help the defense? And honestly, you know, we haven't talked about it before. You voiced your opinion a little bit, but what are your expectations from the defense? Is, you know, below the top five a disappointment? Is the top three, you know, what you're expecting? Or, you know, what does this defense look like? Because I know obviously last year the Jets were sixth in overall defense, but then you actually take a peek at the touchdowns allowed in the red zone, the third down percentage, the things like that. The Jets defense actually wasn't as great as everybody thought it was, because, you know, you looked at the actual – you actually watched the games – and the other team was starting from the, you know, the 40 to 50 yard line, so that the offenses didn't have a whole bunch of yards to gain. So obviously the ranking goes by yards per game. So I just think that the Jets defense was severely overrated last year. When you actually look at the stats, I actually believe they were a middle to a little bit lower tier of a defense. You know, what are you expecting overall from this Jets defense? Maybe not in actual rank, because I think the ranking is actually a little bit of crap. But, you know, if you had to actually rank the defenses, in your personal opinion, whether it be third down percentage, touchdowns, wherever it may be, you know, what are you expecting from the Jets defense?
Yeah, I mean, you look at this Jets defense last year, 45 sacks for a team that, you know, really had, you know, not the best. Obviously, we know what their secondary was. It was, you know, one of the worst in the league, regardless of what the stats say, in my opinion. The Jets, you know, again, like I said last week, they went from a practice squad type of secondary to one of, if not the best secondaries in all of football. You know, obviously adding a Darrell Revis, adding a Cromartie. You know, happy birthday to Darrell Revis, my boy. His birthday today. You know, turning the big 3-0. I mean, him and Cromartie.
He's your best friend. 30.
Yeah, my best friend. You know, I tweet at him. He didn't tweet me back yet. You know, he had birthday cake and all that stuff.
Busy.
Yeah, he's busy. You know, understandable. But, I mean, this is a team, I mean, top five, top three, those numbers, I mean, I don't think you can look into that too much. You know, this team, you know, just has to win. I mean, obviously, I mean, winning solves everything. What this defense is going to do, they're going to win games. You know, if Geno Smith plays like he has played, like we're used to seeing Geno Smith, unless he, you know, unless this offense changes him drastically, this is a defense when, you know, that can give up, like you said, 6 points in games, 7 points, 10 points in games. And if Geno Smith can't put up, you know, more than 10 points in a game, no matter what defense he's playing with the weapons he has, then, you know, maybe he isn't the guy for the job, because, you know, it's a defense who, man, it could be very lethal once Sheldon Richardson comes back. And even without Sheldon Richardson, I mean, how many defenses can say that without arguably their best player on defense can still be, you know, one of the top defenses in the NFL, you know, with the guy Mo Wilkerson drafting, you know, obviously Leonard Williams. I mean, this defensive line, and again, Snacks coming out today saying he's the best nose tackle in the game. So, I mean, if that's true and he plays like he did last year, I think he is, you know, one of the top, you know, few nose tackles in the games. When you have those three in the line, you know, I mean, I can't emphasize enough how big a year it is for a guy like Quinn Coples. You know, only 6.5 sacks last year. I know Rex Ryan. I think Rex Ryan really screwed up his career early on. You know, moving him to down in a 3-point stance at the end, back to a linebacker, back to an end, back to a linebacker. You know, he's going to have a lot of one-on-one scenarios this year, as well as Lorenzo Maldon. I mean, these two guys, I think Lorenzo Maldon, obviously being the rookie, is going to have a chance to step up. Last year, he was 19th in the country in sacks with 10 at Louisville. This is a guy who, you know, he's 6'4", 250. He's an athletic freak. He's going to have his one-on-one, one-on-one coverages. No, and I think he's, I think Quinn Coples is around 272. You know, I think he's cutting down a mid 260s. These are two guys who can be very lean, very fast guys, get to the quarterback with these two guys, with Maldon, Coples, you know, Leonard Williams, Mo Wilkerson, Snacks, and once Quinn Coples, Sheldon Richardson comes back, those are six guys coming at you. I mean, how many guys can you double team? You're going to tell me, you know, you're going to double team, all right, Snacks and, you know, Mo Wilkerson, or you're going to give those other guys one-on-one coverages? I mean, it's a team where I think north of 50 sacks is very realistic. You know, I think Bills, like you said, I think it was 54 sacks or 53 sacks they led last year in the NFL. I mean, those were guys, with the Marcel Darius, with the Kyle Williams, with the Mario Williams, those three guys. I mean, I think the Jets can have a season like they did, you know, posting in the mid-50s in sacks. And, you know, especially with this secondary, with the coverage, the amount of coverage sacks they're going to have is going to be a lot, I believe. You know, then when you look at the middle linebackers with guys like David Harris and the speedy Demario Davis, this could be a team where, like you said, I think it can really be a top five, top three, and if not the best defense, one of the top best defenses in the whole NFL. You know, bring, you know, barring no injuries. And you know, we forgot to mention, I believe we got a tweet early on from D. Milner. So I mean, if D. Milner can come back, be the, you know, top 10 pick like he was, if Dexter McDuel can be the third round pick the Jets envision him being, you know, this is a defense where they can, you know, just have a, you know, just staff at every position. If Calvin Pryor can be the Calvin Pryor, you know, he was in college, you know, I mean, obviously that's a huge step, but he's going back to his normal position. And if Marcus Gilchrist, I mean, the injury concerns, you know, I mean, I think every Jet fan should be concerned with him. You know, we really don't know what's going on with that shoulder, if he's healthy, if he's going to be healthy by camp. I mean, he's a toss-up. I mean, it's the guy, you know, obviously the Jets and Coach Bowles liked a lot going out and signing him to that big deal, even though if it's only, you know, basically a one-year guaranteed deal. I mean, they invested a lot in these guys. And I think this team can be, you know, very, very special on the defense side of the ball, holding teams. You know, I expect one shutout this year. You know, that's what I'm going to go with. I want a shutout this year. I think it's the group that can, you know, you can shut out a team. But, you know, I think the top five defense is realistic.
No, you know what, Vinny? Me and you, the last couple of days, have been talking about actually driving up to Indiana, you know, going to a little bit of a Notre Dame game, going to a, you know, a Jets-Colts game, and we'll see if this team actually is made out of, you know, going against an Andrew Luck, going against a Tom Brady. Obviously, we have some tough competition this year. And, you know, you went into different topics this year. I mean, and just then you went into safety, you went into corner, you went into tight end, you went into running back. You know, you just talked about a whole bunch of things for about, I don't know, what is it, 5 minutes or whatever you were talking about. So I'm not going to try to get into everything, you know. But like you talked about, the Jets defense, you know, Bucky Brooks ranked the top 10 positions in the entire NFL, whether it be the Cowboys offensive line or maybe it be the Eagles running backs, so DeMarco Murray and guys like that in it. You know, the Jets are two of the top 10 positions or position groups in the NFL. You look at the cornerback position, the secondary, you know, can a Marcus Gilchrist, we'll talk about this a little bit more next week, but, you know, can a Marcus Gilchrist be a free safety when clearly in Clemson and with the Chargers, he was more of a strong safety and a slot type of cornerback, you know, can he produce? Can a guy like a, you know, Adeye Bushi produce for the offensive right guard? There's a whole bunch of different, you know, positions that are question marks, but then again, unlike the last couple of years, there's a whole bunch of positions that are really strengths this year. But, you know, we're going to get into some Twitter questions right now. George Wise, who's at CGeorgeWise78 on Twitter, actually tweeted us a question. So we're going to, you know, I'll give it to you, Vinny, first, because, you know, I'm asking the question. So maybe I'll give you a little bit of the harder end to answer it first. But if you had to decide, you know, who has a better chance of being cut, Calvin Pace or Willie Colon, who would you think could be cut out of those two? Who has the better chance and why?
Calvin Pace or Willie Colon? You know, two guys who have, you know, Calvin Pace, obviously, I think this is, you know, sixth or seventh year with the Jets. I mean, they're both, you know, older. You know, Calvin Pace, 34. I believe Willie Colon's 32. I'm going to go with Calvin Pace. I think Calvin Pace is he's going to be on this team. Honestly, I don't think Calvin Pace is going to be a starter. I think Lorenzo Maldon is going to beat him out in camp. I really do. But I think Calvin Pace is a veteran leader in that locker room for this team. If he makes the team, I believe he will be the oldest person on that defense, or Jason Babin. If Jason Babin makes the team, I don't think he will either. But I'm going to go with Calvin Pace. You know, Willie Colon, there's just more competition at that position right now. When you really look at it, you know, even though it, you know, not star-studded names. You're looking at guys, again, like we said before, a guy like Brian Winters, a guy like Odey Abushi, Dakota Dozier. I mean, you just don't have that at the outside linebacker position right now. You know, they're looking at guys like, you know, Lorenzo Maldon, Quinn Coples, Calvin Pace. There's no, you know, there's really no guys who, you know, who are going to take that position away from Calvin Pace and, you know, at least not make him a part of this team, which I think he will. I mean, Willie Colon, if he doesn't make this camp as a starter, I'm not sure if he's going to be fine with being a backup. And I don't think the Jets will be fine with him being a backup either. So, I mean, to answer his question, I think it's going to be a guy like Calvin Pace making his team. It's going to be a toss-up between those two. I think they keep Calvin Pace. Calvin Pace has been here longer and, you know, produced. He had 5.5 sacks last year. I mean, not going to say he produced so much last year, but, you know, he had some timely sacks. And I think, you know, with that veteran leadership, you just, you know, that's can't put a price tag on that.
You know, I definitely agree with you. You look at the offensive line, you're looking at a guy like a Ben Isolana. You're looking at a guy, you know, like a Winters, a Dozier, a Jarvis Harrison, a Brent Quale or Charles Brown, a Corey Brewer. You know, looking at a whole bunch of different positions, and a guy like Willie Colon. I think if he really doesn't lock up the starting right guard position with the depth and with the, you know, youth the Jets are actually bringing to this offensive line, which obviously a guy like Mike McCammon actually did a lot with the Texans, is he really drafted a lot of offensive linemen and tried to bring in a lot of, you know, not top-tier offensive linemen and tried to develop them. So I think a guy like Willie Colon definitely, you know, has more of a chance of getting cut than a guy like a Calvin Pace. But the thing with Calvin Pace that I think personally is that a guy like Calvin Pace has a great shot at making the roster, but I think his chances of making the roster actually diminish greatly if a guy like Lorenzo Maldon can really produce in training camp and he can come out and be the starter. Because you're looking at an outside linebacker position where if you look back at the Cardinals film last year, you know, Todd Bowles actually used a lot more of safeties and cornerbacks than he did, you know, defensive linemen and linebackers. So looking at an outside linebacker position, you have guys, young guys like a Julian Houser, a guy like a Trevor Riley, a guy who I've gloated about, and I think will make this team and make a slight, you know, at least a slight impact, a guy like IK Enumpoli or whatever. How are you pronounce his name? I'm saying Enumpoli for now. I don't know if I sound like an idiot. I don't know if I pronounce it differently, but I'm saying Enumpoli. You look at, you know, the guys I just mentioned. You look at a Deion Barnes from Penn State. You look at a Pace. You look at a Babin. You know, that position is definitely very hard. You know, it has a lot of competition, which obviously this year is producing a lot more competition. You look at outside linebacker. You look at middle linebacker with guys like Tywan Jones. You know, is he going to make it? Obviously, you have the main two positions. You have a guy like David Harris. You have a guy like DeMario Davis. But then you have, you know, maybe two more positions. Are you going to have a guy like Jamari Lattimore? Is it going to be Joe Mays? Is it going to be a Tywan Jones? You know, who is it going to be this offseason? And this 53-man roster cut, Vinny, which comes at the end of August, is definitely going to be a huge talking point for us. We'll definitely get more into the 53-man roster. But if I had to decide right now who's going to get cut out of Calvin Pace and Willie Colon, I think it's Willie Colon as of right now. I'm expecting a guy like Willie Colon to get cut. I don't expect him to start. You know how I feel about a guy like Willie Colon. I think he led the league in penalties last year. I'm pretty sure if not led, he was top five. A guy like Calvin Pace, yeah, he only had, what did you say, 5 or 5.5 sacks last year compared to the 10 that he had in 2013. But he's still definitely a capable player. He can stuff the run. He's not as great as a pass rusher. But you look at a guy like Maldon, who is almost a clone of Pace, where he will be very good in run stuffing, but he won't produce a whole bunch of sacks. You know, I think a guy like Pace can be on this roster. But if we're carrying, let's just say the Jets carry five. Let's just say they carry five or six outside linebackers. You're looking at a guy like Maldon, who's definitely making it. You're looking at a guy like a Copels, who's definitely making it. And then who's going to make those other four positions? Is it going to be Pace, Babin, Riley, and IK? Or is a guy like maybe a Julian Houser or a guy like Deion Barnes going to sneak their way, you know, into that sixth or fifth spot over a guy like a Babin? You know, it's definitely an interesting position. But does Todd Bowles and Mike McCagnan, do they want to get younger? Do they want to, develop some of these guys like a Julian Houser? Or do they want to stick with a guy like Babin who, you know, me and you have talked about this off air. A guy like Babin, he produces a lot of rushes. But last year, you know, I think a lot of people are overrating Babin a little bit. He got to the quarterback a decent amount, but I think that's because, you know, a guy like Wilkerson, a guy like Sheldon, a guy like Damon Harrison are playing the line. He didn't produce as much as everybody thinks he really produces. So do you want a guy like Babin who's turning 34 years old, or would you rather, you know, go younger and maybe develop a guy like Julian Houser?
Yeah, I mean, like you just said, a guy, Jason Babin, turning 35 I think it would be 35 in October. I was looking at before, but I mean, you know, with the
real quick, you know, something that I'm really upset about, you know, that honestly, really, truly, it breaks my heart that you and, you know, Darrell Revis are clearly best friends. You hang out, you play ping pong, you play all these games together, and you tweet at Darrell Revis, and he doesn't even tweet at you back. You know, I'm honestly truly disappointed in our star cornerback, probably the best in the league, Darrell Revis. But keep going.
Right. You know, I mean, hey, man, that's our relationship. You know, he doesn't like to tweet back at me. You know, same with Brandon Marshall. I asked him to join the show. No response yet. But anyways, you know, with the suspension to Sheldon Richardson, it's going to open up a hole for one of these guys to step up early on that defensive line. You know, if Jason Babin can have a formidable, an above average camp, I think he's going to make this team early on. You know, the Jets are going to have a debacle come week four once Sheldon Richardson comes back after that week four game and heading into the bye. Because whoever makes it, that's going to be a tough decision. You know, barring no injuries, what's going to happen there? You're going to send a guy who's thriving. You know, say Babin has a few sacks early on. You know, do you want to send him out? Do you want to, send a younger guy out? I mean, it's going to be a tough decision. You know, that's why the Sheldon Richardson, I was talking about this off air as well. I mean, Sheldon Richardson, this hurts not only the defense, it hurts the whole team. You know, I mean, obviously, he just goes against the whole team, not just the defensive line. He goes against the coach. He goes against the fans. He goes against his whole teammates because now one guy's going to, have a spot and taken away for a guy who smoked, smoked a pot, when he knew he not to. I mean, it's just going to be a tough decision for the Jets to make. You know, I hope it is a tough decision. I hope a guy like Babin, whoever steps in like a Hauser, whoever steps in Deion Barnes, whoever steps in for him, can have a few successful games. And I think that shouldn't really be a stretch considering what this defensive line entails with an all-pro guy. I know who, in my opinion, is an all-pro guy in Will Wilkerson, obviously. And, let's see what Leonard Williams can do. Now, it's going to have Leonard Williams be, starting now. I mean, I was – when they drafted him, I was like, all right, obviously I want the Jets to sign Mo Wilkerson. But now Leonard Williams, he's not going to have the luxury to sit behind a Sheldon and a Mo Wilkerson. He's going to have to start immediately. So, I mean, I like Deion Barnes a lot. You know, I like Hauser. I only saw a little bit on Hauser, but what I saw was very nice. And we know what Babin can do, but he's old, I mean, he's getting older up there. Last year, again, he got to the quarterback, a good amount of times. But, I mean, I don't know. It's just I don't really trust the guy too much right now. And then 2 weeks till camp. I mean, there's so many question marks. Which, I mean, obviously isn't what you want, these amount of question marks. But, I mean, some of them are good. It's battle defensive line are, in my opinion, our best position. It's just going to make us better, hopefully, And that Coach Bowles has emphasized, competition only brings out the best. And that's what the Jets need.
The outside linebacker position is obviously going to be very important. Like we brought up last week. Is a guy like Sheldon Richardson, who's suspended for four games now, is that going to open up a roster spot for a guy like Hauser or a guy like Trevor Riley, who he proved his worth a little bit on special teams last year? Maybe a guy like Deion Barnes makes a team now he doesn't make the team now because we have to carry an extra defensive lineman. Maybe they just carry a Bowen because now Sheldon Richardson is gone. So that's definitely going to be something interesting to see the final 53-man roster. But, we talked a little bit about inside linebacker position. So before we get off the thing, I definitely want to ask you about the inside linebacker position. Do the Jets carry four? Do they carry five? Who makes the team? Is it going to be – obviously we know it's going to be a guy like a David Harris who, in my opinion, everybody in the last couple of years really said, top 10 linebacker. He's really good. But for whatever reason, the last 2 years – all the Jets fans around the league really started to, I don't know what to say. They really downgraded their opinion on David Harris. He's a middle of the pack linebacker. He's a bottom tier linebacker. But then you look at his stats and you look at sacks and tackles. He's actually a top 10 linebacker in this league. If you just look at the stats, so I think he's still a high level starter on this team. And maybe did they overpay for him a little bit? Yeah, but is it worth it to maybe not make him go to a Buffalo Bills team? It probably is. So, what do you think about the offense? I mean, the inside linebacker position. Do you think it's going to be, do you think a guy like Jamari Lattimore is going to make it at three, or Joe Mays is going to make it, or is a guy like a Tywan Jones going to make it? Where does Joe Mays stand? What do you expect from this inside linebacker position?
I think David Harris obviously is gonna be the starter. Him and DeMario Davis. And look at the Jets brought in besides those two, the Jets brought in a lot of guys to compete for these spots at inside linebacker. So I mean, I really like what they did bringing Jamari Lattimore. I think that guy is gonna provide a lot for the Jets, whether it be on special teams, whether it be on third downs in situational times. The guy can do a lot. I really like what they did bringing in Tylan Jones. He's really good in college at Michigan State. And a guy like Aaron Henderson. This guy was, I think a 100 tackler type of guy a few years ago with the Vikings before his nonsense off the field issues. But I think you're looking at a team that can bring five inside linebackers. I'm going with those five. I really like Tylan Jones. I hope he can make the team and, start out early either on, on special teams, coming in situational times. You can't have David Harris is, 31 now. So, he's not going to be playing, 95% of the snaps like he's used to. This guy's going to be he's going to need some rest. Got some young guys coming in. Jamari Lattimore, he did really well when he was on the field for the Packers the last few years. Yeah, they did a lot at the inside linebacker position, and that's a position where they needed help. I mean, DeMario Davis, I think this needs to be a breakout year for him. A lot of talk's been going on for DeMario Davis over the past few years. I thought last year he was really going to break out and excel on the field for the Jets. But, he had his ups and downs. That's going to happen, obviously, when he's, his first full year, really, trying to take over that leadership role. You see before every pregame in the huddle, it's DeMario Davis trying to get the guys all fired up. And the guy's a fired guy. You see him on Twitter tweeting all the fans, all that good stuff. But, the guy needs, a little more on the field would help a lot for this team. Especially, with David Harris getting up there in age. And now with, three, potentially four new guys at the inside linebacker position for the Jets. Training camp coming up in 2 weeks. I believe DeMario Davis was at a camp, and he was saying he has a group text to all these guys, trying to get some chemistry going. So, let's hope that can happen. Jamari Lattimore, I really like this guy. I can't wait to see what he can do on this team. And I think the Jets are going to carry five.
See, the thing with carrying five is, do they carry only eight offensive linemen now? Do they only carry four safeties? Do they carry, do they decide to cut a guy like Darren Walls or Marcus Williams because they now decide to carry, five inside linebackers when we've both seen that over the course of his career, a guy like Todd Bowles only uses his inside linebackers, definitely not as much as a safety or a cornerback. So I think in my personal opinion, he'll only carry four. And out of those four, if I had to predict right now, at least my hope would be that he carries a guy, obviously David Harris, who I think is slightly underrated because obviously he can't provide a lot in coverage, but when it comes to the run game and when it comes to, actually rushing the quarterback, he actually provides a little bit more than people think. Obviously DeMario Davis, who disappointed last year, in my opinion, he really was just a burst out and really helped this team. But then you look at him in coverage, he really, really struggled. But I think he'll still be on the team. He has a shot to really jump up this year. And then I think a guy like a Tywan Jones, who I really think will make the team.
Yeah.
I at least hope he makes the team because you look at him from Michigan State. Michigan State, me and you both know, is one of my favorite schools. Obviously Michigan State and a school like TCU are my favorites. So when you watch Tywan Jones, he's basically a David Harris, mold where he can't coverage very well. He can't support coverage very well. But you look at the run game, you look at pass rushing a little bit, he definitely provides a lot from that position. You look at Jamari Lattimore, who I believe started six games last year, and actually against the Jets when we played in week two, we actually had eight tackles against the Jets. We actually saw a little bit what he was made out of in week two. He provides a lot. A guy like Joe Mays, he obviously provides a lot, but he's a little bit older, so I don't think a guy like Joe Mays will make the team. But then you look at a guy like an Aaron Henderson, who, like you said, in 2013 or 2012, he had 120 tackles on the Vikings. Obviously, then he played in a 4-3, and now he's going to a 3-4, so it'll be a little bit different from him. But you saw what a guy like an Aaron Henderson can actually do with extended playing time. So I think a guy like Aaron Henderson right now, who I actually see on Bleacher Report on all these sites, is actually getting left off the roster, which I think is actually slightly ridiculous to the fact that he provided 120 tackles plus for the Vikings a couple of years ago. So the inside linebacker, like offensive line, like safety, like cornerback, who we'll get into a little bit next week, is a very interesting position. But I know you have a question from Grudy. I believe Grudy has a question for us on Twitter. So Vinny, hit me with your Grudy question.
Yeah, Grudy, let's see here what he tweeted here at Gen Nation. He said, what's the move and status for D. Milner, a top 10 pick 2 years ago? That's a great question. I think a lot of people, a lot of fans around the league, that's even the average fan, you know, forgets that D. Miller was a top 10 pick. You know, he really hasn't showed it, obviously, with the Achilles injury last year. I mean, I think this is a perfect spot for D. Miller. If he can come in being healthy this year, not asked to, you know, be a starter, you know, come in, you know, play 50 to 70% of the snaps, let's say, be, you know, with a Revis, with the Cromartie, with the screen on the field. I think that D. Miller and, you know, I think D. Miller can be a guy who can contribute, you know, come back from that injury healthy. If he can prove that, this guy has a chance. You know, again, Darrell Revis' birthday today is 30. Cromartie, 31. Cromartie, you know, they have a chance to, you know, get Cromartie, you know, I don't want to say it, but, you know, if he has a terrible year, you know, they just have a chance to, you know, just, you know, cut him off the team. And that opens, you know, D. Miller's spot again, you know, again, lining up against with an all-pro with Darrell Revis. So, I mean, D. Miller, if this guy can just, you know, stay in the field.
Who did you just say would get cut off the Jets team? Did you say Cromartie might get cut off the Jets team?
Yeah, I mean, hey, if he has a terrible year, if he gets hurt, you know, the Jets have a chance.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
obviously, yeah. I don't want him to get cut. Obviously not. But I'm saying this is a guy who's 31. You know, he's going to be 32. Obviously, next year the age is creeping up on him. So I mean, this is a guy, D. Miller, too. I believe he's 23, 24 years old, coming off a major injury. If he can provide, you know, some healthy stability, whether it be third downs, whatever it be, whether it be special teams. You know, when he hurt his Achilles, it was against a block, trying to block a field goal. So, I mean, this guy, if he can, you know, be, you know, around the field, be on the field 50 to 70% of the time, which I'm hoping for he can be this year, this is a guy who can, you know, eventually get back to the top 10 status, hopefully. Because, you know, we've seen what he can do in the final four games of his rookie year, obviously going up against guys like Josh Gordon and Mike Wallace, shutting them down. But that was only a small glimpse, you know, in games that really didn't matter for the Jets. I mean, if he can play loose like that, if he can play injury-free, if he can, you know, I mean, this guy has been plagued by injuries going back to his college days. If he can, you know, provide a healthy year, this guy can be, in my mind, a very good cornerback. That's just yet to see. If he can stay on the field, I think he has a very good chance of being a good quarterback with Todd Bowles as his head coach.
No, it's definitely it's been a trend this show, Vinny. We talk about inside linebacker and the depth, and it's a great thing that Mike McCann has brought with the depth. We're talking about cornerback now. We're talking about inside linebacker. We talked about outside linebacker. We talked about, even though it's still a position of concern, it really feels like that Mike McCagnan, obviously, other than signing maybe a guy like a Barksdale, he really tried to, you know, address the offensive line position. But when you talk about cornerback, our sixth and seventh corners this year were our starting cornerbacks. Last year, you look at Darren Walls, you look at Marcus Williams, they're now, you know, they might not even see the field some games this year. But you look at D. Miller, like Grudy X, you know, What are his expectations? You know, maybe he's a fourth, maybe he's a fifth, maybe he's in the sixth cornerback. You can't argue, or, you know, definitely say that a guy like Marcus Williams, who was the number one cornerback last year, who was brought off the street, couldn't be the fourth corner this year. Marcus Williams really proved a lot. Is a guy like a Dexter McDougal going to come out in camp and prove it like he did last year? Last year in camp, all we were hearing was, you know, Dexter McDougal, how good he was, how he's proving himself, how he's playing with the starters, and how he might be the third or even second cornerback, and he might start over a guy like, you know, Demetri Patterson, who went AWOL and was a complete crap signing for the Jets. Demetri Patterson is, you know, he's just terrible. But, you know, you look at Dex McDougal, who might be the fourth corner. So, D. Milner, I really think it all depends on him. Could he be – I think he'll be fourth to sixth, but for a guy like a D. Milner, who in his first year really proved himself, at least in the last games. I'm saying in the first 12 games, D. Milner was terrible. He got beat. Even in his second year, with only the few games he played last year, he got beat versus Jordy Nelson against the Packers, but he's clearly injured. You saw him hobbling around the field the entire game. So is a guy like D. Miller going to step up? Is he going to prove himself against, you know, the teams like the Browns, like he did his rookie year, against the Panthers, against the Dolphins? So, you know, we don't know. Is a guy like Dexter McDougal going to step up and be the fourth corner? Can he be healthy? Obviously, he's dealt with some injury problems. Is a guy like Marcus Williams going to stay on the team? Is a guy like Darren Walls going to be here? You know, there's so many questions, Vinny, and that's why August, you know, the end of August rolls around, the preseason games start rolling around, and we start going to those preseason games. It's going to be very interesting to watch. You know, I know a lot of Jets fans go there the first, you know, quarter or two. It's fun to watch because, you know, the starters are playing. But, you know, it's the diehard fans like me and you, like the guys like Randy, like the guys like Brandon, who call, and the guys like Rick, and all these guys who really, you know, stay and watch those games. Who's going to be on this team? You know, it's going to be a great time. End of July, when the training camp starts, August when it really starts to come down to the roster cutdowns. Is a guy like Brontaze Miles going to make the team? All these different things. Obviously, me and you have been talking about going to Indiana, actually, which Indiana is basically a huge field with Indianapolis in the middle, which you have some bars and stuff. So we're going to go there. We're going to have some fun. The Jets season is definitely going to be interesting. It's not like the last couple of years where we have a whole bunch of depth issues and the quarterback position is a struggle, which it still is, but the offensive line is a little bit better. Every position this year, I can honestly say that a guy like Mike McKagan has actually improved that, slightly. If next week, Vinny, you want to come into the show and you want to challenge me with whatever position that he actually hasn't slightly upgraded with, whether it be safety, cornerback, offensive line, defensive line, wide receiver, tight end, I bet you honestly couldn't bring up one position that he hasn't at least tried to improve. So we'll definitely talk about that next week. But Vinny, definitely a great second show. It's definitely been fun. Next week we're 1 week closer to training camp, and I believe next week is actually our last show before training camp actually starts. So I'm definitely looking forward to get training camp rolling around, and I'm looking forward to next week. We'll talk a little bit more about Marcus Gilchrist. Can he be the true free safety of this team? We don't know. We'll talk about a little bit about the top 100 players of NFL Network. Was Wilkerson rated a little bit too high? Was Revis rated a little bit too low? We'll talk about all this stuff next week. We'll get into it. And it'll definitely be fun, but I definitely enjoyed this episode with you.
Yeah, man, it was, good stuff. Thanks Randy for that call. Thanks everyone who tweeted at the show. Even though it's mid-July, there's still a lot of Jets talk. That's why, I love both, obviously, we love the Jets. We can talk about this team no matter what month, what day it is. There'll always be something to talk about with the team, which is amazing. That top 100 list, four current Jets made that list. I mean, that's always something to look at, see where our guys rank. It'll be five. I think it was five, I believe, actually. There's a lot of talk about still, 2 weeks away from camp. Happy birthday to Revis, obviously, today. Turned the big 3-0. It was a great show. Thanks for everyone who participated in it. Everyone who screened calls. And, everyone who really helped make the show go.
There's a bunch of topics, obviously, for people who talk mainstream. We talk about Geno and Revis and Cromartie. There's not a lot of things to talk about. We really hit on the Sheldon Richardson, situation last week. Now that's over. But like we've been talking about, who's going to be cornerback, who's going to be inside linebacker, who's going to be safety. And in August, the end of August, August, more towards end of July, it's really going to be interesting who, proves himself in camp. We've talked about, Shaq Evans. And next week, Vinny, I definitely want to get into wide receiver position. We haven't talked much about that. But, is it going to be a guy like Shaq Evans at the five? Is it going to be a Chris Owusu? Is it going to be a guy, like a TJ Graham or like a Quincy Enunwa? Who is it going to be? So next week, we definitely have a whole bunch more to talk about. And we definitely thank all of the people who've, tweeted in, who've called in to the show. We appreciate the support, and we can't wait to hear back from you next week. We'll be back at 8:00 on Tuesday night, and we're excited to do it. And thank you everybody for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to Jet Nation. Be sure to follow us at Jet Nation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and check out our forums. Jet Nation is your home for uncensored Jets talk.